This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hello, friends.
Hi, friends.
How is everyone doing? We're just so glad you've joined us for the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast. We are opening this podcast kind of with heavy hearts.
Yes.
And that's why I am certainly not chipper. Been so much going on. My heart is overwhelmed. Share with the folks that have joined us what's going on.
Yeah, so as Jen said, we are just coming with heavy hearts. As a lot of you know, we are in the Northern Kentucky area. And this past weekend, there was a senseless act that happened here in Florence, Kentucky, where there was a mass shooting and four victims lost their life and three are still in the hospital fighting for their lives. And so we just thought that it was important to just take a moment and say those folks' names and just take a moment to honor their lives. They're more than their names, and they have stories and families, and we just want you to know that our hearts are with you, our prayers are with you, and we just are so sorry. So we just want to lift up Melissa, Hayden, Shane, and Delaney. Those are the four victims who lost their lives to this senseless act. And we also want to honor and lift up Chloe, Claire, and Connor, who are still in the hospital fighting for their lives. Mm. And we just want to say our hearts and prayers are with you. And if it's okay, I'd just love to pray for that right now. So,
and the families and friends and everybody involved, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Father God, we lift up your beautiful children, these victims of the senseless act. We lift up them and we lift up their family.
Yes.
We lift up their friends, Father. Father, this situation seems impossible. But Father God, you are the God of impossible things. So we ask that you come and have your way in that situation. Bring healing, bring light and hope again, Father, into this dark space. We need you now more than ever. And for those who are still here on this earth fighting for their lives, Chloe, Claire, and Connor, Father, would you just come into their hospital beds and into that situation, and would you just recover them quickly and swiftly?
Yes. Yes.
Would they come into complete wholeness, Father, and just be able to just glorify you for the work that you have done, healing work you have done in their life? Yes. Father, we don't have the words. All we have is the broken hearts for this situation. But Father, I'm just reminded in the Bible how you just hear our groans. And so that's enough. And so, Father, hear our groans, hear our cries, hear our hurt, and come and have your way and heal those situations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. For those who may not know, just share a little bit more details about how this happened, like what was going on and who the shooter was and all of that. So.
Yeah, so I don't want to speak to all the details because I don't think that all of those have came out or been disclosed yet, but
what the news had reported, I was just saying, just the general context of what had happened.
Yeah, the gist of it is a 21-year-old boy who I don't have his name, unfortunately, right now, but it was his birthday party, and they were just the mom was having a birthday party for her kid, and it was just a celebration, friends getting together, lots of laughter and fun, I'm sure, and a kid who was not at the party, who knew these kids and was uninvited, was recorded walking around the house and came, and his motives are somewhat, I would say, unknown because he is no longer with us. But he came around the house and opened fire, and lives were lost and victims were hurt, and the cops pursued him and chased him, and he ended up taking his life as well. So the situation is just so heartbreaking, and I was blessed and honored to be at a vigil prayer night at Crossroads that we had, because we are in Crossroads, Florence, Kentucky, the same city that the event happened in. And so we wanted to do something as a community. So Crossroads hosted a prayer night, just to lift up our community, lift up first responders, people that keep us safe on the daily, and of course these victims and their families and friends. And I was honored to be on the prayer team. And I honestly was not prepared for what I walked into that night. I am still almost in shock, because I'm used to praying for people, right? Like, that's what I do. I'm on the prayer team, so I do this every weekend. I do this in my daily life. But this was different. There was a lot of friends and families of the victim, lots of our community, first responders, the mayor was there. And the room, if you are an empath, was almost impossible to even stand in. Deep, deep, deep grief, as that makes sense. There should be deep grief. Loud groaning and moaning and wailing and crying. And it was the rawest form of grief. It was just the answer. The service was just a few days after all this has taken place. So I would imagine some of the shock had worn off by then for these people. And now the grief came in the biggest wave. And so we couldn't do anything. We could, as a prayer team, we couldn't fix anything. Although our hearts were wanting to do that, we couldn't. Most of us, all we could offer up was a hug and a sorry. And of course, prayer, if they wanted prayer. But these were kids. These were young kids in their 20s or younger. And so just praying that the trauma that a lot of them saw that night or have experienced secondhand from just knowing and loving these people falls off of these kids and these families, and they are able to mentally and spiritually heal throughout the coming weeks, months, and even years. So our hearts are with you. And I think that Jen and I just kind of wanted to talk about that, you know, like, there's nothing I could have done to fix that situation. Grief is a whole different ball game. And so we just wanted to kind of talk about grief a little bit, and how people maybe process that, and what we can do on the other side of that, just at responding to that. So did you have any thoughts about that, Jen, and just some experiences you've had?
Well, it just, when I think about that situation, I just think of all the fallout from it. And grief is certainly one of those things. But also just the questioning of why, the senselessness of it. And the loss of life and the shock of the suddenness of it. Like, a person was there, now they are not there. And how that can send family members, you know, friends, into this spiral. And so, grieving is Grieving is so complicated. My goodness. Some people
Yes.
grieve for the rest of their lives, but we're very uncomfortable with grief, I think, in a
Yeah.
lot of ways, because I've heard people say very unhelpful things like, well, they should be over it by now,
Yeah.
or are you still crying about that, or whatever. I mean, they may not say it in quite those blunt terms, but grief is such an unknown, deep thing. It's such a different thing for everybody.
Yeah.
People even grieve differently.
Oh, yeah.
It can cause a loss of identity and connection with yourself because this thing is so big. I mean, it's, I don't know. I think we as the periphery, the people surrounding others that are doing this, is this kind of support may take years. The
Yeah.
person may never quit grieving completely, and there's not a form of like acceptance or moving on, but they learn to live with the grief and continue to live their lives. But yeah, just it's so complicated.
Yeah. And I just wanted to affirm those who were out there grieving and crying. That's an appropriate response,
It is.
as we even see in the word, like, the time that Jesus was recorded crying and weeping was when his dear friend Lazarus had died. And it was recorded in the shortest Bible verse, Jesus wept. That was his response to that. And Jesus knew he was even bringing him back to life, but he grieved and he wept. And it's healing and it's appropriate. And I will tell you that I have been someone who's experienced deep loss and grief. I had a husband pass away, and the best thing I ever did was take that time and really grieve. And I will tell you this now and years to come, that I have never, ever in my entire walk with Christ felt God so close than in those moments when I was grieving, in that year that I spent lying on the couch crying every day. When he says he's close to the brokenhearted and crushed in spirit, that is 100%. Not only because it's an award, I'm telling you it's the truth. I experienced it. It's just like you can feel it. And so grieving is 100% important. And if you are someone who is surrounded by someone grieving, I would just say that know going into it that if you try to fix it, you're going to hurt the situation more than you're helping it. The best thing you can do as a friend or a family member of someone that is grieving is just to allow them to grieve, be there for them if they need someone to talk to. Don't try to have the right words, because there are no right words.
Not even the thought of that I hear all the time. Well, at least they're in a better place. Like, that's
Yeah.
not helpful. That's
There's
not
no right
helpful.
words. If you need a word, if you need some words, here's some good words. I'm sorry. I love you. I'm here for you. This is something I can do for help to help you. Not what do you need? Not how can I help you? Because likely, if they're in deep grief, they don't even know that there's anything you can do to help them and fix it. You can just say, I would love to bring over a meal tonight, or something like that. I would love to sit with you for a while tonight, or whatever you can bring to the table. Don't ask them, be there. No one wants to answer in their deepest grief, and think of ways you can help them. They don't know any ways that you can help them. They don't. And by God, if they do ask for help, help. Be there. Be there in any way you can be there. Because the fact that they thought of something, be there. I mean, don't bury a body or anything first. So
Right.
as I was listening to these precious kiddos, just spending time together was beautiful. After the service, they were out in just a big space, an open area, lobby, if you will, and crossroads and atrium, that's the word. And they were just like telling one another, you know, their kids telling each other, like, don't do anything stupid. Like, those are wonderful, like, things as a kid, like, just being there, like, I'm here for you. Don't go out and do anything stupid. And that's, you know, that's a language kids can understand and things like that. You know, I'm not going to tell Jen. You know, like, gentle, we know better, but these are kids. These, you know, they process things a lot different. Their brains aren't fully developed. They want to fix the situation in the best way they know how. So, I will say some things not to say. As a woman who stood next to her husband who passed away, I just remember standing up there next to his body here on earth in the casket, or yeah, in the coffin's a word,
Coffin.
right?
Yep. Coffin is a word. Yep.
That doesn't, yeah. And people were coming up and they want to offer something, right? Like, our human nature wants to offer
They want
something.
to fix.
Yeah, and I
Yeah.
get it, y'all. I get it. That's why
Yep.
we're telling you, it's not, there's nothing you can say. But really good things not to say, is, you know, well, he's in a better place now. Like Jen said, are
Super
you
unhelpful.
you're right? Like, I'm his wife, and you're telling me the better place is not with me? That's not helpful. That,
Right. It doesn't fix your loss. You're
no.
experiencing a loss.
Right. And
Those words are not going to fix that loss.
someone came up to my 8-year-old daughter and said, now you need to take care of your mommy. Excuse me, my 8-year-old needs to take care of me now? No.
Yeah.
No. So, you know, the appropriate thing is, I'm sorry. I love you. I'm praying for you. That, you know, if you want to do something, pray for them. Be there for them.
I
No,
think
no words can fix it.
it's like listening non-judgmentally,
Yeah.
like let a grieving person express whatever it is. It might
Yeah.
be anger in the moment. It
Yeah.
might be not being able to even say any words, whatever it is, but just listening. Listening is the important thing, I think, right? Because
Yeah.
even Job's friends who, you know, they ended up offering all this very unhelpful stuff. I mean, you got to think about Job. Job lost his entire, all of his children. Like,
Yeah.
talk about a mass loss all at once. He experienced that. And when his friends came to him, they did the right thing in the beginning. They just sat with him in his grief. You
Yep.
know, there were no words at that point. And it was when they tried to start fixing and explaining away what happened that it ended up going like really wrong. I mean, I think people look at the story of Job. I mean, and you could look at it a lot of different ways. This is not a wrong way, but they look at Job like from the standpoint of, he experienced this loss, and look what God gave him in the end because of his faithfulness. And it was just a trial, whatever. But you can also look at it from the standpoint of a grieving man and what a grieving man experienced and the loss he experienced. And, you know, in the beginning, that his friends did the right thing. They just sat with
Yeah.
him in the dust because he was in the dust. He lost his children. He lost his health. He lost, you know, all of his belongings. Like he had a loss of family, shelter. Like I can't even get my head around that. And, you know, even his wife would said something very unhelpful, just, you know, curse God and die. Oh, that's not helpful. So I think in grief, and grief can keep even come from trauma. Like if you've experienced a trauma, you have to grieve all of the stuff that might surround that trauma, and that's okay to grieve that. But to have someone that just listens to you, lets you share everything, because there'll be some ugly stuff. Like, that person may say something like, I just want to go kill them or whatever. That obviously they don't really want to kill them, but they're just in a state of anger and loss. And maybe there's some vengeance there, but it's just listening and supporting. And this may take a long, long, long time. It may take years. Like I said, some people don't get to a place of any kind of, like, I don't know, like that weight being lifted. They learn how to live with that weight. And that's okay that they have that weight of loss. You know what I mean?
I was just thinking as you were speaking that, I will say I was very young when that happened as well. I was in my 20s, and I lost a lot of my friends that I had, because 20-year-olds, they don't know anything about losing a husband typically. They don't understand how, and it was very hurtful at the time, but now looking back, I get it. But also, I get it, but I also really, really needed people in my life in that time. I needed someone to sit with me and be there for me and help take my kid to school when I couldn't lift my head that day. But everyone scattered, not everyone, but most people scattered, and I was left alone. Now, it was a very important time for me and God, and God redeemed that and fixed that. But I really could have used someone just to sit with me and allow me to cry. And many days I thought I was literally losing my mind and going crazy. And just to sit there with me and allow me to be, even if I was going crazy, allow me to be that way so I could process that and get through that. And just to have someone be there and love me as Tiffany and all that I am in that moment. But it's a really hard space to sit in. And our brains want to go quick to, well, let's fix it and let's say something. No, don't fix it. Just be there. Just be there.
You can't fix the loss. You cannot fix
Nothing.
the loss. The loss is there. And I think as believers, we struggle sometimes with dark feelings because, Christians aren't supposed to have dark feelings. We're just supposed to confess all of our happiness, and which is, it's not true. But there are plenty of believers that live in that space of, I always have to be perpetually confessing happiness no matter what I'm feeling, because I'm on faith confessing this thing, and it's not authentic, and it's not vulnerable to be able to say in any given day, man, I'm just it's a bad day, I'm grieving, I'm feeling very lost, I'm feeling angry, I miss the person that I had him in my life, or the situation. Maybe it's grief over a divorce. And believers that hear that want to put a Christian stamp on it, like a Christian explanation, like, well, praise God, the person's in, a better place, or, well, praise God, you're still alive and you're w walking. Like, they're looking for the silver lining. And there was a really great video that was made from a Brené Brown talk about empathy and how it's different from sympathy, and how sympathy is looking for that silver lining, and that's not empathetically connecting with the person. Go out and YouTube it. It's a really great video if you want to understand the difference between being empathetic with someone and sympathetic with someone. And that sympathy is looking for a silver lining, which isn't helpful in the moment, right? There's no silver lining for someone that's experienced a loss. When they're processing loss, if they're grieving, even if it takes a long time, that's where they are. And it's okay to be authentic and walk through those feelings. It's a very healthy thing to walk through those feelings. And we, to support people that are in those moments, is to be there, just like you said, to sit with someone, to let them express where they are, just support them where, you know, however it is. Mm-hmm. And prayer is very, very important. And even, you know, John Piper wrote a book that really helped me even in like my depression and my processing through about it's okay to be melancholy. He calls it being melancholy. Like we have a spectrum of emotions, and it can vary where you are in any given day, but grief is something that will stay with you for a while. And
yeah,
you know, I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm not explaining it really, really well, but.
Well, honestly, that's why this podcast, there is no like steps we can give you.
Right.
Because everyone's going to process it differently. And we wish we could lay it out for you and tell you exactly the way that needs to happen. But I will say that Crossroads is starting, well, they've done grief groups for a long time.
Yeah.
And they have one starting up in September. So if you are listening and you were affected by this loss, these tragedies, or not this loss, a different loss, someone else that you're close to, there is a grief group starting up in September at Crossroads Florence. You can get more information of that if you just go to crossroads.net/groups. And you can search grief there and get you to where you need to. Also, if you just reach out to Jen and I, I'm sure we can get you the link, the direct link and more information. But
if you're local to the Cincinnati area.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if you're not, maybe your church has a grief group
or there,
someone close has a.
Yeah, support group. I highly recommend a grief support group.
Yes. Yes. I went to. Also in this Northern Kentucky area, if you look up just hospices, we in your area, you should be able to find also grief groups. I went to a grief group with the hospice that my husband ended up using the last days of his life. And that was very helpful. It's just helpful to sit around and be around people that have also experienced something that you've experienced, although you don't want them to have experienced the hell that you're going through. It's nice to know that you're not alone.
Yeah.
So these things are very important in your grief process, and they are a lot more skilled to be able to do that because they are in it and they watch people walk through grief. So be sure to look up those things. You do not, the worst thing you can do during this time is isolate and not be in community, because community is powerful. And even if you have to yank yourself out of bed one day a week or off that couch one day a week to go to these groups or counseling, please do so.
Yeah.
It's worth it. And it will be a monumental part of your healing journey.
I want to also add to that, because I as you were saying that, I thought it's important to say your grief doesn't have to be about the actual physical loss of someone. You might be in grief from a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
You might be grieving over a loss of connection with someone. You might be in grief about a trauma in your life that was caused by someone you really trusted. And so you're grieving the loss of, you know, that trust in that person, the pain that it caused you, whatever it is. But if you have those other things, it's okay to grieve, and your grief does not have to be about the physical loss of someone.
Right.
For me, I think this is important to point out. I lost some family due to my book because there were members in my family that wanted me to shut up and be quiet. And so I lost connection with them. And I went into a state of grieving. I didn't know it was grieving. It felt more like anger, frustration. And as I went to my counselor said to me, "You need to grieve this loss And it feels like the death of someone, like just as if my family members had passed away because the relationship was severed. And that felt like permission and freedom to be able to really grieve that. And I still grieve it. I still grieve that loss. And, you know, it's been a couple years, but I don't know when I'll quit grieving that. But I just say that to say to those of you that are listening, your grief doesn't necessarily have to be about the physical loss of someone. Yeah. It or like the physical death of someone, I should say. It could be a situational loss. It can be a relational loss. It can be as a result of trauma. But if you're grieving, it is okay to grieve, and you grieve as long as you need to. And for the people surrounding them, be a support, be listening, be there, let a person express what they need to express, and don't try to fix it.
Yeah. And one more thing, don't try to compare it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
It to, personally, if you're dealing with the grief, don't try to compare it. Well, I didn't lose 18 people like that person did, or I didn't lose my husband. Don't minimize your grief.
Right.
And for those supporting, being a support person, don't be like, well, it always could be worse. You could have lost this person and this person. You didn't lose your son and your wife, you know.
Oh, so unhelpful.
Yes, that's not a helpful tool. So leave the comparison alone. Leave anything that sounds like fixing it alone, and just be present and listen and love. Listen and love. Listen and love.
I'm going to connect the Brené Brown video in our show notes, because it talks about the person just saying, whew, after listening to someone talk about, you know, grief, whew, that's hard. That's tough. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And good stuff. I love that. Don't compare your grief.
Yeah.
Every grief is valid. Every experience is valid. You can't compare them. It's kind of like trauma. People won't talk about their trauma because they don't feel like it's as bad as someone else's. And I've even had people say that to me, like, well, I didn't quite have that upbringing, so it's not as bad, but I had this. And it's like, no. There's no comparison. We're like, it's relative. Your experience was caused the same kind of emotions that my experience caused. It doesn't matter about the bigness or the littleness of the trauma in your mind. It's just trauma.
Right. Is that trauma affecting you? That's what's important.
Right. Right. same with grief. Same with grief.
Yes.
You may just be grieving a job that you lost. I mean, it's still grief, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So if you are out there listening, friends, we just want to let you know that if you've suffered any loss from this past weekend and that senseless shooting, or any loss in general, our hearts are with you.
Yes.
And we are so, so sorry. And we love you, and we are lifting you up, and we groan alongside of you, and are lifting up those groans and those tears up to our Heavenly Father to come in and heal.
Yes. All right. And with that, we're going to wrap up this episode. Until next time, guys.
Bye, friends.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2024, Parable Road, LLC.